Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage is an exhortation from the Apostle Paul that encourages believers to continue praying, to continue walking, and to continue proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in the face of opposition. In other words, today's teaching concerns the ordinary Christian life. Please open your Bible to Colossians chapter 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 2 through 6.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Paul writing, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds or in prison, that I may make it manifest, notice, as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." That's God's word. So this morning, what we are basically looking at is the normal Christian life. Ingredients of the normal Christian life: prayer, thanksgiving, witnessing, and talking. Those four things Paul is going to mention here. Notice he says, continue in prayer. The word continue means to be persistent. The New American Standard reads, devote yourself to prayer. The New King James Version reads, continue earnestly in prayer. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, or not to quit, not to get weary. There have been times when you have been weary in praying, or maybe you've been praying for something or about something, and it hasn't really happened the way you think it should happen. Sometimes we can get weary. We've been praying for this for so long. Well, we need to remember that when we pray, the purpose of prayer isn't to change God. It's not to change God's will. It's that our heart would be aligned with God's heart, and our will would be aligned with His will. But Jesus tells us, because He knows us, don't get weary when you're praying. Don't lose heart. One translation says, be courageously persistent. Hold fast. Do not let go. In fact, in Mark 14:38, Jesus said to watch and pray. The word watch means to be alert. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I begin to pray, I mentally wander off into la-la land. It probably never happens to you guys, but it happens to this pastor. And I find myself having to say, Lord, I am so sorry. How did I go from talking to you to wondering what the weather is like? Did my car need to be inspected? Or things like that. Now, you probably never have that problem, but I do. And I need to realize that I am engaged in communion with the God who created the heavens and the earth. Think about that. You and I, because of what Christ has done for us, have access to the throne of the Almighty One, the One who declares, nothing is impossible with me. The One who invites us to come, who tells us, don't get weary, because He knows that sometimes we do wander off into la-la land. Watch and pray. Stay alert. Be vigilant. Be focused. And how many of you know how important it is for us to stay in that place of fellowship with the Lord, praying to the Lord. It's really a lifestyle, isn't it? Jesus, when you study the Gospels, was a man of prayer. He prayed privately. He prayed publicly. He prayed in front of multitudes. He prayed with one individual. He prayed in so many different ways. And how you and I are called to follow him. Being alert, being diligent. Kenneth Woost, in his New Testament Word Studies, beautifully stated that the heart must be awake if the prayer is to have any value. And I think that that's so important. We can forget it. God is listening to your heart. He wants us to speak to him from our hearts. It's very easy to get wordy and heady. But he wants to hear from you and I. When he said it is finished, the veil was torn. And now you and I have direct access to this place of prayer. And the Lord says, keep coming. Don't stop. He gave us the parables of the friend at midnight, the unjust judge, to encourage us to keep on praying, to be instant in prayer, to pray without ceasing, no interruption, praying about everything, praying through everything, every season, every situation, praying, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, praying, talking to the Lord, listening for the Lord, just living in prayer. And you know, one of the most important parts of the armor of God is often overlooked after it's all on, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We know from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, that Jesus was a man of prayer. He, with strong crying and tears, he prayed. Wouldn't you love to hear the Lord praying? Mark tells us that he got up early in the morning and spent time with the Father. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Well, no doubt there was a time after he began to perform these miracles and signs and wonders. The crowds were after him, and he knew as Son of Man that he needed time with the Father. He needed to hear from the Father. What would you have me to do? Jesus said, I don't speak. I don't act unless I hear what he tells me to say, unless I hear what he tells me to do. And those are the kind of things that prayer does, listening to him. It's not a monologue. It's listening. And then with thanksgiving, how important it is for us to be thankful. Think of it. You and I have the awesome gift of praying to the God who created the universe. That's what the Bible says. Should we be thankful for that? Going to him anytime, 24/7, knowing that he has unlimited resources, going unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What an amazing gift prayer is. The disciples, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to do miracles. What did they ask? Lord, teach us how to pray. And when he gave us the example, he didn't say, repeat this, but how many of you know that what he taught us in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 is a wonderful prayer? You know, maybe you and I vainly repeated it in days gone by, but when I read that prayer now, our Father who art in heaven, it has got so much substance. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, notice Paul is here, and he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So, wait a minute. Check it out. Paul's in prison. Why is he in prison? For what? for preaching the gospel. So what does he say? He says, pray that God would open a door to preach the gospel. Isn't it incredible? The very thing that got him put into prison, he's praying that God would open a door to share the gospel in the prison. That just so thrills me. I said to the first service, I believe that it was prayer that God, being committed to Christ, that got Paul put into prison. And then while he was in prison, I think he prayed himself out of prisons. Remember when he wrote to the Philippians and he says, he gives a farewell. All the saints here salute you, especially those of Caesar's household. We know that soldiers would have been chained to Paul for 4 hours. What do you think Paul did? Talk about sports, the weather? Nah, maybe. But he definitely shared the gospel with them. And people were coming to Christ. Soldiers were coming to Christ. We know this from Acts chapter 16, right? Paul and Silas are in prison. They can't sleep. What did they do? Let's pray and let's sing. Earthquake. Prayer stirs things up. And this Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Why is he asking that question? Because they had been witnessing to him, telling him that you need to be saved. And now he's in a critical situation and says, well, how do I do it? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And your household. An open door to preach. The last words of Jesus before he sent it to the Father in Mark 16 was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Go, and as you are going, that's how it reads. And as you are going into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And then before Jesus ascends up to heaven, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, divine power, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And many of you know that the Greek word for witnesses is martus, where we get the word martyr. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to die to self for Christ. We need power. We need divine power. Power to be a witness, Christ. Notice the Great Commission of proclaiming the gospel. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. And prayer is the means that God uses to open the doors for the gospel to be proclaimed. And it's only effective when we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see the Great Commission. It's a divine mandate that requires a divine empowerment and that is entered into prayerfully. Paul asks for prayer, a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Now, the mystery or a mystery in the Bible is something that was hidden or veiled in the Old Testament that is now revealed in the New Testament. Well, we know that the mystery of Christ is that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Earlier in this letter to the Colossians, that previous passage was in Ephesians 3:6. Earlier in Colossians, Paul speaks of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He spoke of the mystery of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Paul's praying for an open door to speak this mystery. You know, there's a lot of secretive religions. You know that. They have their little secrets. Secret handshakes. Secret underwear. Secret books. Everything's very secret. But here's the thing. The gospel is not a secret that is meant to be hidden. The gospel is the good news that is meant to be proclaimed to everyone. And it's right here. God tells us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And sometimes you and I think that when God opens up a door for us, it means that it's going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes it is. I thank God for the times when He does that. But there are times when there's an open door and there's going to be opposition. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, but it is not popular according to the spirit of Antichrist or this world. There is opposition to everything that God deems sacred and holy and pure. This world system is bent against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many times that open door will be met with opposition. Yesterday we had the Walk for Life. We're walking around the neighborhood, and some fellow who is on many of our prayer lists now made it a point of telling us that we really weren't welcome around here. Well, your heart just gets broken. Because now, I mean, what that guy was saying is, you know what he was saying? Here's what I heard. Pray for me. I'm lost. What else he was saying, I wasn't even listening to. Pray for me. I'm lost. But there's opposition. There's opposition. Now, here's Paul. Rather than keep quiet, which would make life a lot easier for him, Paul is asking for prayer to be faithful. I love this. In spite of the consequences of being faithful to God. He knew that by being faithful, things would not get easier for him. They may get more difficult. And that causes me to ask a question. Are you and I, in spite of the consequences of being faithful to Jesus, are we, in spite of the consequences, followers of Jesus Christ? If I'm obedient, what? What are the consequences? Many times, people don't come to faith in Christ because they're concerned. What is my mother going to say? What is my father going to say? What are my children going to say? What is my spouse going to say? Wrong questions. What are you going to say at the end of your life when the Lord says to you, "Have you received? Why didn't you receive me here on earth?" Being faithful to the Lord, if you have counted the cost to seriously follow Jesus Christ, you're going to receive opposition. If you've chosen to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ over human loyalty, the cross over the pleasures of this world, inevitably there's going to be opposition and consequences. So we have a mandate. Every one of us has a mandate to go into all the world, be a witness, and share the gospel. Every single one of us. So how are we supposed to share this gospel? What's our attitude to be? Well, we have to share it confidently, but there's an attitude of the heart. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts." You see, if you're preaching to persuade people, you may be tempted to alter or water down the gospel to make our message more palatable. But the moment you do that, you're not preaching the gospel. Because the preaching of the cross is offensive. It's offensive to this fallen world system. Now, Paul never changed his message to make it more acceptable, but he did adjust his methodology depending on who he was witnessing to. We see a beautiful example of this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Chapter 3, Nicodemus. Chapter 4, the woman at the well. Chapter 5, the man at the pool of Siloam. Jesus did not compromise the message, but in chapter 3, he altered it to address a religious wreck. In chapter 4, he altered his approach to address a moral wreck. In chapter 5, he altered it, not compromised the message, to address a physical wreck. And that means that one of the things that you and I must learn as we're walking with Christ, as we're seeking to see people come into the kingdom of God, we need to be prayerful. Years ago, everybody was handing out the tracts, the four spiritual laws. That's like having a guitar with one string. The Bible says you and I are to be fishers of men. You don't use the same lure to catch fish, different fish. Just learning how to be, being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Instead of just spewing out truth, which we must spew out, but sometimes we can do it with the wrong attitude. We need to be able to meet people where they're at. That's why it's so beautiful. You may not think so. The Lord says that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world. And He has divinely placed you in the family you're in. He's divinely placed you in the job you're at the school you're at, the classmates you have, the team that you may be on. He's divinely placed you there to be salt and to be light. And part of being effective is learning, studying your mission field, meeting them where they're at, and then sharing the truth of the gospel. I'm convinced that people will not listen to what you say unless they see that you believe what you're telling them. So important. And you win them over, not by compromising, but by studying them. How do you please men when you talk to them about the gospel? By telling them what they want to hear. How do you please God? By telling others the gospel, by telling them what they need to hear. And that's what he says in verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Toward. You see that phrase? See that word? Toward. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Barna, one of the statistics that they have come up with, I wish it was wrong, but I believe it's true, is that the vast majority of Christians, after they've been saved for 5 years, have no unsaved friends. Well, who are you going to witness to? You see, there's a reason why you're on that job. There's a reason why you're in that neighborhood. You see, there's light here. Look at all of these lights. There's so much light here. Now, if I were to shine another light, it wouldn't make much difference. But I can tell you what, it wasn't this bright at X o'clock when we arrived for prayer. It was pretty dark. Then we flipped the switch. And I'm hoping that for you and me, when we leave here today, as we go about our lives beginning the rest of today and tomorrow, that you will flip the switch wherever you are. Be salt, be light, pray for an open door, and watch what God does. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So many Christians are afraid of people that are in the world, intimidated by them. Now, we are not to be unevenly yoked. We are not to participate in sinful, ungodly things that they do. But we are to go towards them. That's our mission field. Jesus said, go into the highways, go into the byways, go into the hedges. That's our mission field. The lost. Not running away from them, running towards them. Redeeming the time.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.